We want to start with the bottle that is in your everyday essentials and your RX. And then we want to continually expand beyond just the bottle, but into other medical consumables.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Russell Gong, who is the co-founder and president of Cabinet Health. Russell, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to meet you and can't wait to dive into your story. So let's start with telling a little bit, what is Cabinet Health?
First off, big fan of the show and thanks so much for having me. Cabinet Health is a sustainable healthcare company that's on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic from medicine, as well as create the next generation of sustainable healthcare products and services.
So what led you guys to launch that as the mission for the business?
My personal background is I'm a specialist in sustainable product development, as well as a U.S. Army veteran. I started my career in environmental policy, where I started to see some of these issues that are permeating with the environment, with community. From there, moved into consulting, where I started to see different brands and how they could expand and build sustainable products at scale. And then ultimately wanted to bring that all together to solve a broader problem. My co-founder, his name's Achal Patel, he's a third generation pharmaceutical entrepreneur. So he's spent a lot of time in the medical supply chain and in factories, with his grandfather building one of the first acetaminophen factories in India, which is effectively our backbone of our supply chain. So I share that background because Cabinet was formed by combining my personal background of about a decade of sustainable product development and Ach's three generations of pharmaceutical experience to create a company that thinks about healthcare and sustainability together. When we think about not just the company origin and our whys, but the broader macro issues that we're facing, the healthcare and sustainability issues is really dire. We fundamentally want to speak about that plastic waste is a healthcare problem. And if we look up at the plastic crisis, there is so much single-use plastic medicine that's being created from the healthcare industry and just very little progress towards that. So we created a company to solve that.
When you started thinking about that problem that you were looking to solve, what were you finding was the biggest barrier for why sustainability hadn't really penetrated into the healthcare industry historically?
To take a step back of what the problem is, and that starts to point to your question of why it hasn't made any meaningful progress. Just to throw a couple numbers out there for you and the listeners, when it comes to single-use plastic medicine bottles, there are roughly 194 billion single-use plastic medicine bottles created every single year. And the vast majority of them are not recycled, meaning upwards of 95% of all medicine bottles that have been made in history have not been recycled. The vast majority of them go into oceans, landfills, incinerators, eventually into our communities. And so if we just pause there for a second, that is a big problem for the environment, causes a lot of issues with the oceans, climate change, acceleration, et cetera. But when we think about what that now means health, there's so much plastic in the world right now, Dave, that we're starting to consume that in the form of microplastics. So a very common thrown around statistic is that we are consuming upwards of a credit card's worth of microplastics every single week. And as of the last couple of years, the medical community and the healthcare community is really catching on to what does this mean for our bodies as we're starting to see microplastics in our bloodstream and in our lungs and the breast milk of young mothers. And so that's really the problem that we're solving, where it is a plastic waste is a healthcare crisis and the healthcare industry needs to solve it. But more directly to your question, well, why haven't we done anything about this? And there's a couple larger reasons for this. Number one is awareness of the problem. I think when we think about plastic waste and climate, our minds often go towards water bottles or cars or even to a certain degree, clothing at this point. But there hasn't been a message on when you pick up your medicine bottle and you're feeling sick, that you're not only trying to take care of yourself today, but you're causing problems potentially tomorrow. So that's number one. It's just the awareness of sustainable healthcare and plastic waste and climate in the healthcare industry, which is one of the most important reasons that we started a brand, not just a business, to educate. The second is the industries of healthcare are so large, these supply chains are so large, that to change one thing is really difficult. When we look at the supply chain, we don't look at it as this healthcare industry with no face. It is really and literally family. It is our way of thinking, how do we change things that everyone in that part of the value chain want to change things differently? It just matter. You just need to have enough innovation from a technology standpoint and enough willpower from a business model standpoint. And so until now, that really hasn't been an easy answer for big healthcare companies or big pharma or even pharmacies to do, which is another big call to action for how do we solve that. So to answer your question directly, Dave, it's awareness and I think courage in a lot of ways to innovate, which is why Cabin of Health exists.
And you mentioned use that word single-use plastic bottles. When you're talking about those, is it more the RX bottles, those kind of amber colored ones, or is it things like the white plastic that Tylenol and Advil, et cetera, comes in?
Great question. We look at it in all aspects of the healthcare space. So when we had some fun with the brand name, we called it Cabinet intentionally because of starting with every bit of single-use plastic in your medicine cabinet, we want to be able to show customers and patients a better way. So starting with your everyday essentials, like over-the-counter medicines, there's a lot of waste there. Oh man, I started feeling sick. I'm away from my home. Now I'm going to go buy a 100, 500 bottle of a ibuprofen or allergy relief, and I end up not using all that, so I end up wasting it. It's that area of waste of your everyday essentials that you see in pharmacies, but it's also where you see the RX bottle. So I think that one is very keenly felt by patients who take their typical RX every day, they refill every month. And the third and more prevalent aspect of the waste is really in the back of healthcare systems, the back of hospital systems. And that starts to open not just to the bottles of medicine, i.e. oral dosage, but starts to think about liquids, gloves, trays, et cetera. To answer your question directly, Dave, we look at the problem really as a heat map where we want to start with the bottle that is in your everyday essentials and your RX. And then we want to continually expand beyond just the bottle, but into other medical consumables, whether that's trays or others like that. And we have our businesses set up to build that as well.
With that in mind, as you mentioned, Cabinet's goal was that broader picture. When you launched, where did you start and how have you evolved in terms of that go-to-market of OTC versus RX and that as a channel?
We started with where we look at it as an X and Y axis. Innovate the fastest, and then where can we make the most impact? And impact from a perspective of both a business as well as impact from what amount of material reduction and consumer behavior change can we affect? And so when we looked at the first starting point, high innovation potential and impact, we started off with our everyday essentials and over-the-counter medicines. That really started with more of a direct-to-consumer e-commerce model that allowed us to understand behaviors, bring the brand to life, be able to scale and build revenue and build more of a broader customer base. From there, we wanted to bring the same sort of everyday essentials and bring it into retail. We've just launched with Target, which is an incredible partner that allows us to not just take the change from a medicine cabinet of a single consumer, but really starts to look at the overall over-the-counter aisle. And so that was a dream partnership to work with them. We're currently on NCAP and lighting up the over-counter aisle with Target. From there, we've moved to RX. And so RX requires a more sophisticated pharmacy backend. We've brought in incredible leadership and team to drive our digital pharmacy and to go from everyday essentials like OTC to moving into more healthcare, true healthcare. And so that's our evolution from there, which has been a tremendous learning beyond just how do you give someone a more sustainable physical product, but how do you give them a sustainable healthcare experience and service that includes access to a pharmacist, access to more information and better quality care and products. And then the third step of our evolution, which is building cumulatively across both of these, is how do we help not just Cabinet grow as a business, but how do we transform the industry more broadly? So as we started to build our own brand as our own pharmacy, we started to think, even if we become the most successful business ourselves, we're never going to really make a big dent in the broader industry. So the third evolution is a B2B concept and model called Powered by Cabinet, where we want to give the industry all of our answers, all of our innovation, and help them accelerate their transition. So today we're working with McKesson, which is a diversified healthcare leader, on how do we transform the broader industry and provide a Powered by Cabinet capability where we become, in some ways, like the Gore-Tex or the Intel of sustainable healthcare products and services.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
Talking about ingredient branding that you're playing with that B2B side, the Intel Inside, how do you balance being the Intel Inside ingredient brand versus building your consumer brand with your own direct-to-consumer retail?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think I'll start with how we look at our brand. Simply, we look at our brand as, are we accomplishing our social impact mission or not? And then to what degree are we achieving that? So building the brand on going to Cabinet, which is a higher quality, better physical product system that they can save, but building the brand around the mission of actually eliminating single-use plastic and pushing a next generation of healthcare. And so tactically, what that means for customers is anyone who touches Cabinet, we want them to line up with how much is this company actually solving the problem with the product I'm buying now? And with everything else that they're doing, whether it's supporting other brands or advocacy work or additional services that are provided by mission-aligned partners. And so that's philosophically how our company looks at that. And then from a content perspective, we are really trying to push how do we provide that. And then from a sales channel perspective, the healthcare system, whether it's OTC, RX, or other medical consumables, is certainly not a winners-take-all market, where you can be a multi-billion dollar company and just service one of these products. And so the way that we look at the market is, if we're focusing on mission and building that call to action, we can actually capture more market share through B2B. So directly to your question, we manage both building our brand and building other people's brand by, number one, carving out where does Cabinet really want to be? Where does our premium, refillable, and sustainable savings want to be in the Targets of the world, in certain Amazon experiences, and in places where the consumers are really understanding sustainable, refillable models, which for us is about 12 to 15% of the marketplace. So we want to carve out those sales channels and really work with our partners like Target and McKesson to nurture and build that experience for them. And we want to be able to be at scale. So how do we actually serve hospital systems and healthcare systems? And that's where sometimes on a practical basis, Cabinet Health in a refillable base model is not necessarily as easily adopted in some of those spaces. So what we've done is basically use our packaging IP, and then we put a logo on every other product that we build that just says Powered by Cabinet. So it might have another name brand, but it has a Powered by Cabinet, creating brand equity for us back to the brand, but also allowing us to get out of the way when needed to be able to serve the bigger pharmaceuticals and pharmacies that want to be driving forward.
You guys have worked with companies like Target and McKesson that you just talked about. Both of those Fortune 100, if not Fortune 50 companies. How did that those relationships start? Was that an outbound that you reached out to them? Was it an inbound? How'd those start and how have you evolved them?
Great question. We have been really inspired by our partners. We mentioned Target and CVS. And I think before I talk about it tactically, one of my perspectives is what is the reason behind them even being open to working with us? I think the reason is they are truly thinking about their consumers, their future, the futures of their consumers, et cetera, and thinking about how does sustainability and innovation play a role in their business. And that's been, if anything, outside of hearing some of the consumer changes, has been so inspiring to have those B2B conversations, because I think we often look at the industry as people are so hungry for just doing what's on the bottom line. I actually feel very differently about how big businesses operate. I think they are really wanting to make a change and they are able to make a change. They just need to have the right partnerships, the right opportunities to make that happen in the world. Just philosophically is how I look at that space, and we're excited for other partners to come. When it came into how did we actually reach out, we did a combination of two things. I think number one, it's a pretty tactical, but being able to say, here's our mission and do a outbound outreach just to say, by the way, if you haven't heard about us, here's what we're trying to do. And in the context of Target, they have a true leadership when it comes to health and wellness, where they've been thinking a lot about innovation for their aisles. And as we reached out to them, we talked about, well, what are their goals? How does sustainability and refillability connect? And then after a couple conversations and about a year and a half in the works, we were able to co-create an offering that built an end cap experience, the first of its kind for retail, and then being able to bring that to Target stores. So that's how that worked, which was an incredible partnership of really us learning how does Target really create a unique experience for their guests, and how do we evolve our system, our messaging to be able to combine those two. That's the first part. The second part is the importance of us building a consumer brand as opposed to just being a B2B business was we have a lot of education and advocacy that we ourselves want to do. And so our team is very focused on talking about plastic waste as a healthcare problem. So going on national TV or building our own consumer brand, and some of our B2B partners are our customers, was and is very important to be able to do at the same time.
One of the things that when you look at a lot of direct-to-consumer businesses, the place you started in, it's pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of regulation when it comes to a shampoo or a sneaker. You're playing in a highly regulated space, both with the RX side and with the OTC side. How has that created challenges for you? And when you look ahead at the growth, what challenges really need to be overcome from a regulatory policy standpoint to embrace your sustainability mission?
For sure. When we look at the policy landscape, there is a lot of different tailwinds and headwinds that we think about on a regular basis. The first one for us is the tailwinds of sustainability and plastic regulation. When the more that consumers, as well as the academic community, as well as the regulator community are starting to think about that plastic waste in many ways, single-use plastic really should be governed better, as well as some of the end-of-life recycling, you were starting to see a number of laws in the United States that are just plain out either banning the use of certain single-use plastic products or creating extended producer responsibility for those that make it, creating a tax or risk liability or a tax liability for those companies to continually innovate. And so that's one body of regulation that we look at that we view as more of a tailwind that continually allows us to be capturing more market share, being ahead of the curve of those laws, so that we as a first mover and our partners who join us can really capitalize on some of that regulatory push when we start moving into medical plastics or others. So that's one area that we're really focused on and looking to capitalize. And it's only that much more aggressive in international areas. The second body that we're very focused on is how do we maintain and ensure that quality comes first with sustainability. It's my ambition that sustainability is not a choice. It is just what we would accept as the status quo for healthcare and medicine. And so when it comes to whether it's FDA regulation, we really need to make sure that everything that we put out into the world, whether it's a new material, has very high, if not exceedingly high standards when it comes to quality for patients, quality for medicine. So what we do as a business is we invest in extremely rigorous stability testing for every single packaging format, every single molecule that we put in across both accelerated as well as more controlled temperatures. So those are ongoing at all times. It's the absolute requirement just to even exist as a company. But beyond that, in ensuring that the products themselves are exceeding the FDA standards. So we invest in third-party batch-level testing. We have very rigorous sourcing requirements. And that's our broader team focus around just quality. And so when it comes to regulation for medicine and healthcare, it's actually quite comfortable for us because of how much we've invested, how much we know the standards, and how much we're exceeding the standards. And for that reason, we're able to innovate because we've gone past that and we know those standards quite well. They don't scare us. And we just innovate once we've achieved those standards or exceeded them. The third body of regulation to think about is making sure that we are very clear and communicative to our patients and our customers in terms of like the claims that we make of sustainability. So this is a less of a regulatory challenge for us, but more of a maintaining our science around sustainability. The FTC has very clear sustainability guidelines, and our goal is that we are always innovating on our packaging and maintaining the highest degree of sustainable sciences. So this is a moving target. Materials change regularly, waste production changes regularly, and we are very focused on making sure we are making clear claims so that there's no greenwashing. And if we can't achieve the perfect solution, which no one really can, we tell our customers, hey, we're going on progress and we're getting better than single-use plastic, but we got a ways to go and need your support to get there.
I love that. That makes total sense. So what do you have in store if you look at the next 3, 5, 10 years for Cabinet? Where do you hope the business goes?
That's a great question, Dave. And the start of that is our team won't stop until we achieve the mission of eliminating single-use plastic in medicine and creating more sustainable healthcare products for all. When we look at where the business is going, it is really expanding upon our three core areas of the business, which is furthering our relationship around over-the-counter medicines, everyday essentials with the partnership with Target. Second, really growing our pharmacy and patient experiences. We've had incredible growth in that space with patients asking not just for personalized and refillable Rx, but also more sustainable healthcare experiences beyond the products. So thinking through how do they speak to our pharmacy team? How do they get not just their oral dosage Rxs, but their other healthcare products, thinking inhalers or tests, things like that. And so we're very excited to serve them. And then the third area of growth is how do we expand our B2B partnerships so we can work with the industry leaders, industry giants, to help them transform the industry more rapidly. I'm very excited about our partnership with McKesson and how do we think through not just evolving our small space in the healthcare system, but truly leading the way across the entire U.S. healthcare system on transforming healthcare to be more sustainable.
Congratulations for everything you and your co-founders have done. It's an amazing business, and I can't wait to see how you guys transform the future of the industry bottle by bottle in the years to come.
Thank you, Dave, and appreciate the questions.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.